¡Ale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Family FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and here are my primos, Ricky Torres, Hector Reyes.
What's up, guys? Back in action.
Todo bien, todo bien, todo bien.
Everything is good.
Yeah, gracias everybody for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Make sure you're checking out our website, familiaffb.com, as well as our social media channels, at familiaffb on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our familiaffb Facebook page. Well, you know, primos, it was kind of, I had kind of a cool moment. I have a couple friends, that we've been friends since high school. I mean, I saw them when they met and everything. And we've just kept the amistad for all these years. And, you know, nice. We were talking, and I told them how and yes, Ricky, you know, since we were in high school before you were born, that's how long it's been.
Oh, probably long.
So one of the things that we, you know, when I was talking with them, I told them how I pretty much, you know, reconfigured my mom's chilaquiles recipe, and they were like, "Oh my God, we love chilaquiles! Do you think he'd give us the recipe?" And I was like, "Oh, actually, I totally can right now. I could text it to you." When I had seen my mom making them, I took just absolute notes right into my phone.
Nice.
I've made it probably about 6 or 8 times over the course of the summer. My kids just absolutely love it. And it was kind of cool. So they were sending me text messages over the next couple of days. There were a couple when they were at the store buying some of the ingredients. And then, it was Sunday that they decided to make it. I get these pictures. It's like, "Oh, you know, is this okay?
Is this
okay?" But The best nice. Part was when they showed me the big bottle of tequila. It's like, "We should be drinking, right, when we're making this," wow. right? I said, "And you picked the right one." Little Don Julio 1921. They
that's
had
the way to do
on.
It, man. Yeah, that's the way. Yeah.
and then the best part was they ended up sent me like the descriptions of how it tasted, how it made their kitchen smell. And
nice.
they were just so thankful. And it was kind of cool. It was so great to, you know, introduce friends, AKA white friends, to Mexican food and
the culture.
You know,
there you go. Expand the culture.
It got me thinking, you know, it's kind of cool when, you know, the times that we've been able to do this, sometimes through our family get togethers and, you know, what have been, some of your findings on those?
Well, for me, I live in Lancaster, California, home of the tumbleweed, and there's Ooh. Not much color out here. Most of the brown we get from the desert. But I have a neighbor, Tammy. She was a lunch lady, and she was our neighbor for like 15 years, maybe even longer than that. And my dad would always make salsa. So she loved cooking. She would always try to mimic his salsa, and she would text him because they didn't have that back then. She would ask him, you know, like, "Why mine's turning green? Why is it doing this?" And she used to always give us whatever she tried to make it, she would give us some. So I thought that was always awesome, the way that she would mimic it, because she loved the food. She would always try to copy our tamales. And one of my favorite things was when I would have a potluck at school or something, and I'd bring my dad's Spanish rice and salsa, stuff that's very basic in my house. And
you
everyone
take it for
just
granted.
Went crazy
you just
for
take it for
it.
Granted. Like, yeah, like, doesn't everybody like, have this?
Yeah, people are like, "The salsa is amazing." I'm like, "It's good." And then they're like, "Oh my God, this rice." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's not hard, guys." But not that I didn't even make it, but I just loved how people, it makes you feel like maybe you have been taking it for granted, or it gets you also proud of your culture. And then one of the big things out here was that I got to introduce a lot of my Güero friends is Nico's Mexican food.
Sierra Highway, man. That's old school.
And we used to always go there. After I turned 21, we would play softball, and I would take all my friends there. And
margaritas.
She would have carnitas, like, just on a platter. They just eat it up. I used to always go in and order, you know, the one thing Mexican restaurants do the better than anyone else is they make a mean cheeseburger. So I used to always. And that's because Mexican food, like, come on, I have that daily. So when I go to a Mexican restaurant, I'm like, all right, I know what you guys know how to make.
I mean, that used to be me. I mean, growing up, to your point, like growing up, I never really appreciated, you know, how good Mexican food is. I mean, because growing up, I'm having Mexican food all the time, whether it's, you know, with my parents or my grandparents. So yeah, we'd go to Nico's Mexican food. And I was a kid, I was always remember, you know, everyone's ordering, you know, sopes, and everyone's ordering, you know, enchiladas and stuff. And that was me ordering the cheeseburger. And yet, yes, to your point, it was very good. But I never really appreciated exactly, until later, you know, how blessed we are, you know, in our culture that, you know, Mexican food is just so flavorful. Like tamales, you mentioned tamales. I remember our neighbors growing up, like, you know, around Christmas time, you know, just, you know, coming over to our house, like, hey, you know, asking my mom, Ramona, did you make, you got any tamales? Any tamales? You guys make any? Oh, yeah. And she'd pack them up, wrap it in foil. Or when she'd make fresh tortillas, you know, she'd tell my neighbors to come by and, you know, pick up a dozen or so. They'd come by. Oh, man, these are the best. You know, you got any butter? You can put some butter on these. And so, yeah, you know, the things that, like you said, things that we would take for granted. But, man, it is cool to think, you know, as far as culturally, how Mexican food has definitely had an impact, you know.
One thing about going to a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Is that when we go there, any item on the menu, I'm like, my tia, I've had that. She makes it better. No, right. My tia makes it. So yeah. It's like, what am I going to get? That's why cheeseburger guys at a Mexican restaurant, I think it's where In-N-Out got their idea from.
That's probably why Del Taco makes that. That's probably why Del Taco still makes a cheeseburger. And most people don't realize when you go to Del Taco, you can actually get a cheeseburger and fries at Del Taco. And I don't remember having one before, but I've heard that it's pretty darn
good.
They're not
the best, but I love the respect they're given. That's my
respect. Well, I'll tell you one of the things that I think doesn't get enough respect is the salsa at Nico's restaurant. That's legendary. Still nothing that's come close. The chips and the salsa. And the chips would always be fairly simple, not, you know, lightly salted, but the salsa itself would just be fantastic.
When you put it on a napkin, it leaves a grease stain.
Oh, yes.
I think that's what introduced me to spice. You know, as a kid, I was like terrified of spicy food.
That's what introduced me to acne.
Yeah, you know, Nico's Mexican food, the salsa there, you know, that introduced me to spice. I was like, you know what, this is good. It's a little bit on this, got a little bit of heat, but I think I can handle it. And little by little, as I got older, you know, started going for more spice. And now I'm eating like habanero salsas, just like nothing, nothing. So there you go.
Well, yeah, a few years ago, Tia Nene sold the restaurant. I will say that my go-to was always the burrito, the one that was, that had carne, kind of like a barbacoa. It's kind of a combination barbacoa and birria. It was just that was always my go-to on there.
Fantastic.
Tia Nene would always, when I'd be able to make the trek out to Lancaster and we'd go to the restaurant, Tia Nene knew what I was doing, unless they had the buffet going, which I felt like I was eating in Vegas.
God, the buffet too.
It was the epitome
of introducing Mexican food to the American culture, the white people.
To the masses.
Yes.
That's what Nico's was, because it was on Sierra Highway in the Antelope Valley, and it just, people couldn't get enough of it.
Super legit.
Yeah. It was a good run, Tia Nene, and Tio Nico, the founder. RIP. Vaya con Dios. Awesome just to have the opportunity to introduce familia, you know, expand the familia reach to all the other cultures. And that's awesome. That's kind of what we're doing here. We're doing that here without the salsa.
Expanding that reach.
Hey, well, we got some chisme going on. Training camps going on.
Chisme, let's go. Chisme.
So Ryan Tannehill is saying some nice things about Derrick Henry catching the ball, which I'm sure sent fantasy football players who have draft picks in the second half into being like, we may have to pick him now.
Oh, man. I mean, I got the number 7 pick in our Familia draft, so Derrick Henry's right there sitting at number 7. So if he's going to be catching balls too, you know, I was already a fan, so if he's there at 7, I may have to pick him up, man.
He's going to say that no matter what. It's his teammate. I mean, if I had a big, ugly guy, nah, he's ugly, but he's huge. If I had a big guy like that, I'd be praising him too, saying, oh, yeah, he's catching the ball more, blah, blah. I wouldn't say anything bad about the guy.
It's preseason. But just the fact that he's catching, I mean, Derrick Henry's not known as a PPR guy. He's not known to catch the ball out of the backfield. So if that's happening now, obviously they're leaning more towards getting him more involved in the passing game. It does make
me think that you're going to pick him over anyone. Like, do you pick him over Zeke just hearing that? Like,
oh, no, I mean, no. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to do that. I mean, I think the top five is, like, set in stone. You got McCaffrey, Elliott, Barkley, Thomas, Kamara. And then, you know, maybe Dalvin Cook, I don't know. People are kind of flip-flopping on him at number six. And then there's Henry at number seven. So, you know, I don't think I don't think this kind of statement makes any huge impact. I think Derrick Henry's still going outside the top five, but he's definitely not going to hang out. He's not going to survive past top 10.
I think Ryan Tannehill's just saying this so defenses focus more on Henry, because Tannehill can't throw that well, so he needs everyone to get off the other.
Who told you he can't throw that well? At the end of
no,
last
they
season,
can't throw well. Dude's a manager. He's going to be like what was his name? The guy who broke his leg. He's just going to be a game-time manager. Carr. Alex Smith. He's going to be just a game-time manager. Ryan Tannehill.
He lit it up at the end of last season. He threw up some big numbers, him and his guy, A.J. Brown.
I don't expect him to do anything. It's now there's tape on.
Didn't they make the playoffs? Didn't the
Titans 90 yards in the playoffs in one game? Man. Like,
That was last year,
you
man.
You can't he did great last year, then be like, oh, that was last year. You can't have it both ways.
No. I'm just saying that this year things are going to be different. You'll see.
I thought I was going to have a nice podcast today.
It's going to happen when we take out La Basura in a little bit. Well, Josh Allen talking about how he hopes to run less often this season. And really?
It's like the Twilight Zone now. People are just coming out. You know, the reporters are out recording sound bites from people. And I think they're just trying their best to say, like, ridiculous things just to see it printed.
See what sticks.
I don't understand why a quarterback would say, yes, all that. See, how? Remember how awesome I was last year doing that thing? I'm not going to do that this year. I don't get it. I don't understand why it's weird to me.
It is weird. It's the same thing as Henry's going to catch more balls. It's like,
right.
You're just telling me, like, are you trying to throw me off the scent of your trail? Like, that's not what I was thinking. So because you're going to throw this, you think that, oh, now I'm going to think all of a sudden he's going to throw more. No, we're still going to blitz you, fool.
Exactly. So
that's what I think Josh Allen's doing. Yeah, it's like, honestly, these reports, it's just red meat for the fantasy people. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And we're eating it. We're hungry.
We're eating it up like chips and salsa.
Exactly.
And it really is. I mean, every quarterback talks about how, you know, that running quarterback always talks about how he needs to stay back into the pocket a little bit more. I mean, I'm sure we'll even hear this from Lamar Jackson in about 3, 4, 5 years. But even Cam Newton talked about how he had to become more of a pocket passer. I don't think Josh Allen is there yet. I think he's going to revert back to his old, you know, the ways that he.
Why not? He took the Bills to the playoffs. Yeah, they made it to the playoffs, and he did well. I mean, they did really well. Josh Allen, the guy, I mean, go back and watch film from last season. The guy's confident. The guy's got ice in his veins. He's not scared at all. The guy does not play scared.
And some of the hits he took, I would want to run less to.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, there's that. But he's not scared. It's funny. He bounces back up, and let's go next play.
He is a big physical guy. I mean, Lamar Jackson, I think I saw him get hit hard once all of last season. But Josh Allen, there were some times where it looked like he was going for contact, which is why I've always comped him to Cam Newton, who was never scared of anybody. I mean,
he's
a bad man.
When you're bigger than everybody, you don't really have to be scared of anybody. You know, certain guys, you know, talking about Derrick Henry, like, who's Derrick Henry scared of? You know, who's Cam Newton scared of? And you say Josh Allen, he's a big dude too. So when you're out there running, you know, when that DB's coming up to you, going to tackle you, and you're thinking to yourself, like, this guy's smaller than I am. I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna light this guy up, you know. So yeah, you start thinking that as we're running with the ball. So, you know, run less? I doubt it, but you know, whatever. They're saying this stuff for, you know, like I said, for us to eat up.
Yeah, and they're talking about him making some more plays as a quarterback. So, you know, I think he's still going to be a valuable pick this year. Good chance to be a top 10 quarterback as long as he stays healthy, hence the running more. But, you know, there's some more news out of Buffalo. Zach Moss, the Athletic is reporting that Zach Moss is going to be a factor on passing downs. You know, he was definitely rated as a good passer. He's shown good work in pass protection during training camp. You know, I mean, we're going to talk about one of his teammates in a minute, but, down the road, but, is this a worry factor for Devin Singletary?
This is the new thing to have someone else catch the ball. Meanwhile, you have the big, lead Caballo. This is what's going on with Chubb. This is what's going to eventually go on with Ingram. Just get these new young guys. Rather than give them the rock right away, give them some open space so we're going to throw to them. And then it makes your lead back last longer. So I think it definitely is a good takeaway from Singletary. But, I mean, this is the new thing. So Singletary is still a strong running back to have. But I don't know. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, it's a copycat league. So, you know, once that starts happening, like you said, it's kind of like once something becomes a trend – We all know that the NFL is a copycat league. So once that starts happening, you got, you know, the young running backs coming out on passing downs, you know, to save the, you know, your lead back, you know, to keep him healthy, to keep him on the field, then you're going to see this trickling down, which is a bad thing. And from a fantasy standpoint, you know, you want your lead guy to get, you know, as many touches as he can. But if they're going to start doing this and bringing out the young buck to on passing downs, this might be a... This might cause a headache for some fantasy owners.
And he's a rookie. I still don't think rookies are going to make that big of an impact right away. I just feel like they haven't seen an NFL defense. I get it. Some rookies didn't even take any snaps before they played. But I don't know. I just don't want to put a lot of – everyone's drafting. The only good rookie is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Other than that, I don't know. Everyone's – looking at Zach Moss, they're looking at Cam Akers so high. It's like, I don't know. Like, all they're going to be using him for is for passing. And I think
Akers will be more than a passing back. I think Akers will start eventually.
I think because his running backs are going to break down. But compared to all the others, like Dobbins, it's like, I don't think he's going to do anything. And I think Zach Moss fits there too. I think Singletary's
Dobbins, you don't like Dobbins?
He's good running back.
How do you not like Dobbins?
I just think Ingram's too good on his own to let Dobbins take his spot.
Oh, he's not going to take his spot, right? You know, Dobbins is definitely going to get his
touch. So what's the point of having Dobbins on your team if he's not going to take the lead Caballo?
Well, I think they're looking at Dobbins to be the lead Caballo in 2021, maybe kind of get his feet wet this year.
Right.
Because exactly. I think Ingram becomes a free agent after this season. Plus, he's 30, so everybody thinks that the line of demarcation when – you know, on running backs that they
ask
go down.
Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson if they agree with that. Oh, a 30? Oh, that guy's a baby.
Except for them. Except
that's
for
MVP season.
That guy's a baby. Man. I remember when I was 30.
Way back before there was an iPhone.
Right, exactly. No, I'm talking about that's what Frank Gore's saying. What's Frank Gore now, like 50? I don't even know.
Let's go over to San Francisco. Brandon Ayuk, his hamstring strain, according to Coach Kyle Shanahan, is considered mild. So, you know, he was looking good in training camp, got this injury, and now all of a sudden, you know, it's considered mild. To me, I don't think there's any kind of mild hamstring strain. I think that's a word. I'm still worried.
No such thing as that.
I think it's going to be like a rubber band. You bend it too far, it gets a little weak, and all he's going to do is later in the season re-injure it again. He's a young guy. He's playing a longer season than he's used to because it's 16, not 10 or 12, whatever he did in college. So it's just stacking up to not be a 49er year. So, I mean, that's what I'm expecting. So this is just, I knew this chapter was coming pretty much in the book.
Yeah, you saw that coming. You saw that coming back on early
before February. The Super Bowl. Rick said he saw that before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he said they're going to lose this game and have a horrible 2020. And you, and then I was nothing, like, wait, I think all nothing. Of us are going to have a bad 2020.
but you bet nothing on it. Ugh.
All of us. So, well, let's go down a little south in our neck of the woods.
Los Angeles.
Head coach Anthony Lynn of the Chargers said Mike Williams could miss the team's season opener, which to me says homeboy's missing the season opener.
When they say could, that means he will. that means it's a significant injury. Whenever a coach says somebody might possibly miss some time, they're just kind of planting the seed like, hey, this guy's injury is nothing to sneeze at. It's significant. He's gonna miss at least one game, so we'll have to wait and see what that looks like. But yeah, this is significant.
It just sucks because I feel like Tyrod Taylor's been looking good in preseason, been working hard, and now it's definitely gonna put a damper on it. It's gonna put a damper on Keenan Allen definitely for the beginning of the season. Do people draft Keenan Allen's already getting drafted way low? Are they gonna draft him higher or lower because of this? Because you could look at it both ways. Now Keenan's going to be the only one getting the ball, so more targets.
What about Hunter Henry?
I don't know. I want to see something. I want to see Hunter Henry do something before I start giving him praise.
Well, he did do something. I mean, before he got hurt,
That's what I mean, though. It's like, do more for me, man. Show me that you can have an average. Like, when I look at a baseball player, they need to have a certain amount of at-bats before, right? I think
that is a good point. I mean, Henry, he did some really exciting things in limited time. So yeah, that is a good point. We need to see more.
That's the thing. He's only been limited, and that doesn't bode well.
Right. Exactly. He's always limited, it seems.
So well, that's why I just hope that the Chargers can rebound from this. But this, I know, this is a hard hit for us, yeah, and I'm so optimistic.
I've been drafting him a lot of mock drafts and actually, you know, getting him like in the 10th round or something like that. I'm feeling like I got a steal. I don't know. I'm staying away from him. Unless he's fallen to like the last round and I'm kind of like, all right, you know, and I'm feeling pretty good about the rest of my team, I may take the dart throw and hope that he's fine. It's just,
he's definitely going to get drafted lower now.
I mean, we talked about it before. He's the jump ball guy, and a jump ball guy with a shoulder injury is terrible. I mean, that's as bad as it gets, because you go up for those jump balls and you come down and you land, and chances are you're landing on a shoulder, one or the other. You're coming down. A lot of times you're coming down awkward because the guy's taking your feet out. You're way up high. The guy tackles you low. When you're coming down, you have no real control. You put a hand down to kind of try to break your fall. That'll impact your shoulder. Just landing straight on your shoulder will impact your shoulder. So it's just, like you said, Rick, it sucks. that sucks.
Well, we're going, we're introducing a new feature today, and this is going to be part one of a two-part series. We were talking about a little bit of what would be a good way to name players who are value picks versus players who are a little bit overvalued. We don't like their ADPs. So, you know, we're calling these segments Basura y Tesoro.
Basura.
Now, we're not calling the players basura. We're calling their value, their ADP.
Their ADP.
Yep. That's
return. The basura.
Yes.
The return on investment.
Exactly. And Tesoro it's that hidden gem, the undervalued guy, the team that you're like, oh, okay, I might be getting the same amount of value with this guy than I would have gotten.
Right. You can get guys later that are worth way more than what their ADP is.
Like last year when I got Derrick Henry in the third round.
Yeah. Or last year with Lamar Jackson. Where did Lamar Jackson go again, George?
11th
round. After I took Malcolm Brown.
Oh, my God. League MVP.
But, yeah, so that's the thing. I don't know if we've got that kind of – that today. Right. Today we're taking out La Basura.
Yep.
So we're going to go three players each. We're going to go in order. Each one of us is going to introduce a player, and we're going to go through. Ricky, you're leading us off.
All right. Now, this guy – he's not basura. like we said. And I really feel bad because his name's so big. He's being drafted so high. But Dalvin Cook, I don't like him. I believe he's going RB5. I've seen way too many running backs complain about their paycheck, hold out, and not do well. Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon Bell, that's all you need to see. So it's one of those things where I know he's going to be running for a contract. Great, great. He could be a baller the whole season. My point will be proven the last 3-4 games when he has those tough defenses. And it's just one of those where it's like, I don't want him to fall to me because I could get Derrick Henry or I could get Michael Thomas. He's just basura for where he's getting drafted. If he fell to me at maybe 11 or 12, yeah, that's good because, I mean, yeah, I would take him then. But going like the 6th pick overall, I don't know. He's had one healthy season, but he's still rested with a shoulder problem. So there's always going to be that in the back of your head as well. And I don't know. I just feel like it's not there for me. For my first round pick, I want to be excited by the guy. This guy's not getting me excited. And I already know that the ending's going to be horrible. I'm trying to pull up their schedule just so that everyone can understand to avoid him. And Hector, you're probably going to run into him, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I got the number 7 pick. So like I said, I'm looking at Derrick Henry. I'm looking at Dalvin Cook. Nick Chubb's in the vicinity.
He's got to play the last few games. He's going against the Jags, they have an okay defense, but then you go against the Bucks, who they suck. But now that they have Tom Brady, they still had one of the best run defenses.
Then you have the number Bears. Number 1 last year.
Then you have the Bears. You don't want to play the Bears no matter what. They always have a strong defense. Then you have the Saints, who also have a strong defense. And then the Lions. Here's the thing about these games. The Vikings might fall behind against the Lions and the Saints and the Bucks. The Lions actually doesn't matter. That's week 17. But they might fall behind against the Saints and the Bucks. So I just feel like they're going to have to throw it the whole time. And it's not going to be a Dalvin Cook-led game for those cases. So it's just like, I just don't like the ending. That's the biggest thing. He's like the number 1 player. I think that's just like basura. I really hope anyone else gets him before me. I hope someone who is usually good in the league, like Victor or Georgie, I hope one of you guys gets stuck with him.
Well, if we look at the end of last season, though, like to your point, Dalvin Cook he kind of fizzled out at the end of the season. Last 7 games did not have any of those games over 100 yards rushing. That is surprising. For a guy with Dalvin Cook's talent, last 7 games, 0 100-yard games. That is very, very telling. I don't know.
Like there's a sour taste in Minnesota's mouth and in Dalvin Cook's that they're not going to be – if he's today saying that he's not going to – he's walking away from the table. It's like, all right, so they already know they're not going to have you next year, so they might start trying to see what the next guy can do a little
Madison.
Bit. Everyone's crazy. But that's what I mean. Like they're going to want to – give Madison the ball more. They're not going to want to just make, I don't know. Because giving the ball more to Cook isn't going to be good for them because if Cook looks really great, Cook's going to go get, they're going to have to pay more to keep him. So.
Politics.
And here's the thing that makes me a little worried about keeping him. He's missed 19 games in his 3-year NFL career. Yeah. So 19 out of 48.
Some leg injuries too. Right, didn't he have an Achilles or an ACL, wasn't it?
Torn ACL his rookie season, and then you know, he came back his second season. So last year was his first full season back, 2 years removed from the surgery. So that to me is a worry part. I look at the shoulder injury. There's talk that shoulder is going to need surgery at some point. So I don't know. Yono said that's a big worry. I worry about him. I had him. He was great. But yeah, I did notice how he faded in the second half of the season.
Yep.
Well, one guy who didn't fade in the second half of the season, but is still on the list, Hector, you got the next guy.
Yeah, I'm Joe Mixon. Now, obviously, Joe Mixon is uber talented. You know, you can't really, there's not a lot of bad you can say about the guy from a talent standpoint. I just don't like his offense. I just the fact that, well, first of all, with Joe Burrow coming in, that's a big X factor, a big unknown. Yes, he did awesome in college. That was amazing. How that translates to the NFL is to be seen. You know, we talked, you know, in earlier episodes about the schedule. And I'm terrified for Joe Burrow. He's going to game one, L.A. Chargers. Forget about it. They're going to light him up, and that doesn't bode well for Joe Mixon at all. You know, Burrow's going to get, you know, he's going to be running for his life. You know, that's probably going to be a negative game script, I would imagine. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot, slinging the ball around there. I don't know how Mixon fits in game one. Then they go to Cleveland. Then week three at Philly, Jacksonville, and then rounding out week five at Baltimore. So these are some scary games for Joe Burrow running this offense, and Joe Mixon, we'll have to wait and see how that impacts him. So first 5 weeks, I'm not looking for a whole lot. Maybe some kind of mediocre play from Mixon. We'll have to wait and see, but not real thrilled with how that's coming to play. Catching passes. Let's see. Back in, was it 2018? He caught 43 balls, his career high. Again, how does that translate? How's he going to fit in? We got Tyler Boyd over there. We got AJ Green. Joe Burrow, is going to go in there wanting to sling it around, and maybe that has an impact, or maybe Joe Mixon doesn't necessarily fit in to the passing game. We'll have to wait and see there again. Now, talking about high output games, he had 400-plus yard games last year, Joe Mixon did. All four of them came in the second half of the season. So, and only four. So, you know, if you're looking for a guy, he's currently going what? He's going number eight. RB7 right now. He's going before Chubb. He's going before Tyreek Hill. He's going before CEH. I don't know. I'm again, not saying that he's not talented, not saying I wouldn't take him with a later pick, but going this high first round, I would definitely wait on Joe Mixon. I would not use a first round pick on Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I would. Go ahead, Rich. I'm picking 12 and 13. I know he's probably going to be there. I just hope someone, I hope someone dumb picks him before me. Just so I know it's a dummy spot. They took it. There's probably someone better I'm going to get. Because, yeah, I don't want to get stuck with them either. I got stuck with them last year. And, yeah, the ending was great. But I love consistency, not this blow-up stuff.
Right. So, Ricky, could you conceivably pass? You've got 12 and 13 in our Familia League. If he's sitting there at number, you know, when the pick comes to you, are you going to pass both picks on again? Pass him on with both picks?
Are you after me?
No, way after you. He's way.
So I'm like 10 picks.
And you already know I'm not going to pick him.
It depends who's there.
Because I don't like, there are two reasons why I don't like him. One is their offensive line. They're saying it's going to be better, but they're still the number 32 ranked offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus, which tells you how bad they were last year.
Exactly.
And to me, you know, they added Jonah Williams, their left tackle, but that's one guy, and I don't know. To me, that's eso me hace cosa. That's La Llorona scary for me. And the other part is the defense is going to be bad again. And to me, what does that mean? Negative game script. They're going to be having to throw the ball, which is good for Joe Burrow, and you know,
Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd, AJ Green if he's healthy.
Right.
But again, you know, people are people are talking about Joe Mixon like he's going to get, you know, catch, you know, 80 balls like Kamara or Eckler or you know, Saquon or CMC. No. I just don't see it. I would rather he's going, you know, according to ADP, going ahead of CEH and Sanders, I'm taking either one of those guys before.
Totally agree with you. I'm right there with you. I'd pick either of those guys before I pick Joe Mixon. Absolutely.
Well, the next one, Primos, esto duele. Esto duele. Eso,
didn't your name your team after Todd Gurley a couple of years back? Weren't you Gurley man at the draft or something?
I did. The awesome. 2016 when the Rams came back, when they came back home, regresaron a mi casa. Right. I renamed my team the Gurley Men. I had the number one pick. I used it on Todd Gurley. He was horrible, but then the next year I got him at the end of the second round, and he was fantastic. And so. Yep. I even bought a Gurley Man t-shirt, which is probably in a year or two is going to be a workout shirt. But, you know, yeah, he's
you need one like of my... an e-bandage that says Gurley Man.
But that's the thing with him, you know, so he is my official pick. He's going RB15 in the third round. And, it's tough going to a new team. He's a new team that isn't well known for getting a lot of production out of the running backs, even though Dirk Cotter is talking about him getting 15 to 25.
That's way too much. His legs gonna fall off at like midpoint of the season.
I don't, you know, the Rams did not use. I mean, the thing is, he's so. The highlights are so spectacular from 2017 and 2018. He had 40 total touchdowns those two seasons. He had 2,000 yards from scrimmage in 2017. He would have done it in 2018 if they wouldn't have sat him down for those two games. But, you know, last year, ese hombre, yo no sé. He didn't look like he was fast. He didn't look like he had the burst. He didn't have a 100-yard game.
He didn't look comfortable. I mean, just, like, you know, he'd go on the sideline, take his helmet off, and it's almost like he was kind of out of it. He didn't look invested in the game. Like, so you could tell like something was like bothering him. He just looked off, you know, when you watch him on the sidelines. So I don't know. I'm not
like Freud over here.
I'm very, yeah, man. The psychology, man. It's a big part of the game, you know. But yeah, I'm not. I'm
well, afraid. So Georgie, he's going in round three, third round. If he falls to you in the third round, and it would be late third round for you, do you get him?
I am.
Would be early third round, right?
No, for him, it's snake.
Yeah, no, man. I would have.
Yeah,
I would
snake.
Have,
early
yeah,
third
I would
round.
Have, I would late. Have the early third round.
Oh, it would be here.
Yeah, so he'd be 3.02. That's where George's position.
All the research I'm doing is getting me messed up.
Remember our La Llorona episode? We were talking about that, you know, that second tier of running backs, that second 10 running backs. That is what Todd Gurley is La Llorona scared of me this year. I'm passing on him. At that point, I would take, I think I got Le'Veon Bell and Chris Carson.
That like is official for the breakup between you two.
I think it is.
Like you passing on him, when that happens, I think that's when I'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's only because he's not on the Rams. I think if Gurley is still on the Rams and we're talking about him at round three, George picks him. But because he's
more of
the Falcons now, that changes the dynamic.
Yeah, he's
significantly.
Now that he moved to Georgia, he's getting a breakup box. So
that's right. That's it, man. Hey, you know, it's,
with the Gurley Man T-shirt in it.
He's getting the Dear John letter. Like, hey, man, didn't work out, man. Sorry, man.
Rick, you got your second guy. Talk to me.
All right. Aaron Jones. A lot of people are high on him. And, yeah, he averaged well, guys. But as someone who wins a lot, I want someone who's consistent every week for my running back. And he's going in the second round, eighth pick. So he's going as people's number one running back. A lot of people's lead caballo because in the late first round, they're probably picking a wide receiver or quarterback. Who knows what they're doing. But having him as your number one running back, it's just – that's basura, man. That's it's bad because of one main reason. Everyone's talking about A.J. Dillon. And just the fact that they want to see him, it's going to be the year of the rookie running back. A.J. Dillon, even if he gets five passes every game, it's going to eat away from Jones. Jones did great last year when they played Dallas Cowboys. He got four touchdowns. Problem is, if he doesn't do that, he does diddly squat. Williams will come up and do something. And I just think LaFleur, the coach, he even said how he likes the fact that he's got three weapons. They're comparing it to having like a chessboard. And now he has all these new pieces. He's excited to try all of them. That's great for them because that's what, you know, the Niners did last year. That's horrible for fantasy football players. That's horrible for Aaron Jones' stock. And I don't know. Like, last year he finished RB2 right ahead of Zeke, and he had 236 carries. He's not going to get that this year. I think they're going to spread the ball more. I don't know. Call me crazy, but I don't like the fact that he'll get you 36 points 1 week, then the next week gets you 4 points and 7 points, and then he gets a 30-point game again, and you're happy you have him. But it's like, you can't rely on that as your lead caballo on your own team. So, I don't know. Eventually, you're going to realize that you can't go with the home run hitter all the time. You need someone who's consistent, and it's like, he's being drafted way too high for me to just want to have someone that risky of a play.
So if you're on the board and he falls to you, who are you taking? And I'm not saying it at number 12, 13.
Oh, I was looking at I would love DeAndre Hopkins, Austin Eckler over him, Travis Kelce over picking him, because Travis Kelce, I'd rather have the number one tight end over whatever Jones is going to do. And honestly, I wouldn't mind skipping on him, because behind Aaron Jones, you still got Drake, Eckler, Connor, Chris Carson, Le'Veon Bell, Fournette, Mark Ingram. There's a lot of good running backs that I don't mind skipping on Aaron Jones, because I know they're going to come up. But around the time where Aaron Jones is being picked up is where a lot of good wide receivers are happening, or some of the elite tight ends are going around that time. It's like, you know what? Skip on Jones. There's better things out there.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I would skip on him.
Don't.
if he comes to me round two, I got the number seven pick. If he comes to me in the second round and he's available there, he's probably available. I mean, he finished RB2. He finished RB2 last year.
Ahead of Zeke. He blew his load in like three games.
Look, this is a Green Bay Packers offense. So like you said, you know, just because, I mean, there's not that many running backs in the NFL that are capable of four TD games, that are capable of 30-point games. So if you can get a guy that can get you 30-point games, then get that guy. You know, especially if you can get him in the second round. I would get that guy. And again, he's you know, on the Green Bay Packer offense, you got Aaron Rodgers running that. I have no problem at all picking up Aaron Jones. I like the guy. You know, even at that ADP, let's see, where is he at here? Aaron Jones, you got D-Hop right before him, Kelce, Godwin, Mahomes. Yeah. The next running back is Miles Sanders.
All those players you just said, except Miles Sanders.
But the next running back after Jones are Miles Sanders, Kenyon Drake, and then Austin Eckler. Okay, maybe Eckler.
Drake, Connor, Carson.
I don't know, man. Green Bay Packers offense can be explosive. Yeah, and he was RB2 last year, man.
It's a roll of the dice. I don't want part of that.
I don't know, man. I think I would probably take him at that position. I would probably
take him. I'm trying to convince you to take him.
The only thing I worry about is the guys who are following him. I mean, I like Eckler a lot. It would be a coin flip between him and Eckler. Drake being in a walking boot, and then you know, you look at the guys that you guys mentioned. You know, the next guys on the ADP, that's La Llorona scary for me. So I don't know. That's why I would take him and then just start hammering. You know, hoping that he's my second running back. And hammer receivers after that, and just hope on hope. So light a veladora that he does well. Well, speaking of lighting a veladora, Hector, there are a lot of people who are lighting a veladora for what's happening down in Tampa with your pick.
So my guy is Rob Gronkowski. He's my basura pick, only because there's just way too many. First of all, here's my concerns. Number one, there's a lot of mouths to feed over there in Tampa Bay. You have a Bruce Arians run offense, and that guy loves to just air the ball out. He has two of the top wide receivers in the entire NFL. You got Chris Godwin, you got Mike Evans. Godwin's going wide receiver 6. Evans is going wide receiver 8. And I know people are talking like, oh, well, you know, it's familiarity. You know, Tom Brady hasn't played with Godwin and Evans, and he's familiar with Gronk, so he's going to be dumping the ball to Gronk. No, he's not going to be doing that. Tom Brady is a G. Tom Brady is a He's the GOAT, okay? You give him any toys to play with, and he's going to maximize those toys. So you're going to give Tom Brady? Are you seriously going to give me, going to give Tom Brady, Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans, and then you're going to tell me, yeah, well, you know, he's not going to throw to those guys a lot. He's going to throw to Gronk. No way! Gronk, 2017, 1,084 yards, 8 TDs. 2018, 682, 3 TDs. The guy took a year off. He partied. He drank a lot of tequila. You know, he had a good time. Congrats to you, Rob Gronkowski. That was awesome. But I just don't see him recovering, getting anywhere near game shape. Not to mention the injuries that the guy has gone through in his career. The guy, you know, how long did it take him to recover from that arm injury he had? It broke his arm, and then it got infected. And then it got infected again, or his hand or wrist or whatever the heck it was. I just don't see, you know, Rob Gronkowski being anywhere near. I think people are drafting him this high. He's currently going TE8, seventh round. He's going, people are drafting him just based on, you know, the past. Oh, man, I remember he did this for me 1 year. He did that for me 1 year. There's no way. You know, Evans, Godwin, they are here to stay. Arians is going to game script for those guys. Brady knows what he has. Gronk is going to be the safety valve. You know, if those guys are covered, if either those guys are both unavailable or not open, which is going to be pretty darn rare if you know about Godwin and Evans, one of them is going to be open pretty much every play. So why he's going to be going to Gronk, I have no idea. Plus, you have O.J. Howard in there too. I just don't see it. I'm definitely not seeing Gronk here at this position. I'm seeing he's going ahead of Michael Gallup, for real. He's going ahead of Marquise Brown and Tyler Higbee. I'm taking Higbee. For I'm taking Gronk, and I'm for sure taking Michael Gallup and Marquise Brown. So I just don't see it, not at all. No chance for Gronk. Just he should just retire, stay retired, and hang out, get your CBD oil, drink your beer, and just watch the games.
it's a good indicator that you draft like trash if he lands on your team. Right. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yes, if anyone drafts Gronk, you did some bad research.
Like hashtag Brian, research. Come on, man, do better research.
to me, the thing with Gronk, I don't see how you take a year off and come back. I mean, Jason Witten did it, and he was
exactly
he was okay.
Yeah,
exactly. I think people are drafting Gronk expecting that he's going to have another flash. This is probably New England fans who are, you know, saying thanks for the memories. But, you know, one thing that is also telling, and this was in Peter King's Football Morning in America column last week, he talked about the fact that he pointed out, did a lot of reporting and actually interviewed O.J. Howard and talking about how much time Tom Brady is spending on O.J. Howard to kind of get him, kind of almost coach him up. And by the end of it, Peter King was saying, if you're drafting late in a fantasy football draft, grab O.J. Howard because Tom Brady's going to make him get everything that he can out of him. So
yeah,
that's why I think Gronk may be the number four guy in the pecking order, and I don't want to pay for that with the tight end eight. I'll wait and get a Higbee or a Gesicki or Blake Jarwin, exactly. One of those guys.
Tom Brady will throw the ball to the guy that's the most talented, that can do the most with it, the best run after catch. O.J. Howard is faster than Gronk. He can jump higher than Gronk. He's more athletic than Gronk at this point of both of their careers. O.J. Howard, I can't see
how. But can he sing like Gronk?
Soy fiesta. Hey, Gronk, we still consider you an honorary Mexican, okay? So there's still, todavía hay mucho amor. Todavía hay mucho amor. And, one guy I don't have a lot of amor for, and it's not because I got talked out of picking Todd Gurley in another league in 2017 and picked Amari Cooper instead of Todd Gurley, who was the fantasy RB1 that year. The numbers end up being great. 79 catches, 1,189 receiving yards, 8 TDs, but he just se hace fantasma. He, you know, he disappears. And
he's like Aaron Jones.
It's funny because, you know, we talked about the, you know, Aaron Jones having the big game against the Packers. When the Packers played the Cowboys, well, Cooper on the other side went for 11 catches, 226 yards, and a TD against the Packers in week five. The next week, he had one catch for 3 yards. And that's kind of the thing I don't like about him. He had only four games with 100-plus yards throughout the entire season, played all 16 games. There were some nagging injuries at the end of the season, but I want to pass on him, get somebody more consistent, and maybe get somebody else later on. I don't get picking him in the third round. I'd rather take somebody else.
God, just looking at that game against the Packers, I'm like 30 points, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's a lot of points. Yeah. And then to get 1 point the next week in a PPR league. Ooh, that's basura. And I had him last year, too.
That's bad.
And I feel you, Georgie. As a many-time champion, I can't even count all the rings I got. I want players who score anywhere from 10 to 20 points a week. Just because I know the points are coming. I don't got to worry about that 1 point. Because if you have Aaron Jones and Amari Cooper on your team, and both of them have that week where they get 4 points in 1 week, respectively, you're going to have a horrible week. You're going to be one of those teams that 1 week you're leading the league in points, and then the next week you have the least amount of points. You don't want to be that team. You want to be the pinnacle of consistency and just lead the whole time. And Cooper's too big of a fire risk. Like, he's either going to blow up or catch on fire. And you're right, Georgie. Going third, that means he's either your number one wide receiver or your second wide receiver. If he's your second wide receiver, it's like, ooh, who are you passing up on to get him?
He's going before Juju. He's going before Mark Andrews. He's going before
Juju's
AJ Brown.
Juju's more of a sure thing than Cooper.
Right.
Juju's going to get at least, in PPR, Juju's going to get 5 catches a week easily.
Yep.
And,
for sure.
And Amari's proved that he can do a week where he gets just one catch. So it's like, nah, pass that dude.
The Fantasma.
Good pick, Georgie. That's a lot harder pick than picking someone who's being drafted in like the 19th round in Gronk.
There you go.
Well, tell us about your next one.
Is he going in the 19th?
Oh, I don't. I'd be surprised. If I see someone draft him, I'm just like, really? He better be your tight end number two.
There you go.
Rick, tell us about your next pick.
Now, my next pick definitely isn't trash. I just think he's not worth the trouble. And, oh, my God, he's going right next to the other guy. So I'm going to have to decide if I want him. It's Nick Chubb. Everyone loves him. Great running back. I get it. He got 1,400 yards last year, almost 15. But what I don't like is how he only got 8 touchdowns, no receiving touchdowns, only 278 receiving yards. And guys, I don't think he's going to get more receiving yards than that. You know, how they're going to divide the snaps between Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And even then, it's, God, I've been doing so much reading. It's crazy on this. Here's the thing, and it's all like a philosophy. If Chubb's the future there, if they know they want Chubb, what do they got to do? They got to protect the guy, right? So that's why you got Kareem Hunt. So you use Chubb, you bang him out, boom, he gets the touchdown. You guys are up by 2 touchdowns. Get Chubb out, let Kareem run the rest of the game, and let Baker do his thing. Hopefully you can keep it. So Chubb's not going to have, I feel, the same amount of he's definitely not going to get any receptions at all. And his carries are definitely going to go down because if they're winning, he's going to run less. If they're losing, he's going to run less because they're going to need to pass. And they're going to pass there. And when they do run, they might do like play actions and off to the side to Kareem. So Chubb's going to be great on average, but he's not going to run that much. He's not going to get the rock as much as people think he is. I just think they're going to want to protect him, and he's going to be, like I said, super efficient, but they got Kareem Hunt there, and they got other issues to worry about. It's just it's going to turn into a committee there, and I don't know. What do you guys think? I know I'm crazy, but I'm crazy smart. I'm wicked smart.
No, you're not crazy. The fact that Nick Chubb is on the Cleveland Browns, that's all you need to know.
But it's even like – even if they do well – even if they blow teams out.
What do you
out?
Mean if? They're Cleveland. You're talking about the Browns, Rick. There's no if. There's no if there. Cleveland Browns just, are not going to do much of anything again this year.
He was a beast last year. He was a beast the year before. I just feel like they're going to treat him, they're going to baby him and not have him run so much so that if they're in the playoff run, Hunt, boom, now Kareem Hunt can be. It's just Kareem Hunt's too good for them not to use
right
to benefit. It's like, boom, Chubb's tires are getting a wear on it. Let Hunt be running. And I just think it takes a lot of value out of Chubb. And I just don't want to get stuck with them. That's all. I just don't want to get.
You're absolutely right. I think
12 and 13. I don't know if I'm going to pick them. I feel like I have to, but I got to see. I really got to see what my options are.
I mean, where would Kareem Hunt be going right now if he was still on the Chiefs? That's the thing to consider. The talent level.
He's going up there. If that's the case, he's going up there with the top three, with CMC, Zeke, and Saquon.
But that's the case, Chubb also goes up higher too.
Well, if Chubb doesn't have Kareem Hunt, yeah, he's going up. I mean, he had like over 100.
But that speaks volumes right there. I mean, yeah. you put Kareem Hunt on the Chiefs. I mean, if he's the lead running back for the Jets, I wouldn't.
But I mean, it splits. You know, that definitely takes carries and opportunities away from Chubb. As good as Chubb is, Hunt is also good. So now you have running back by committee. Everyone's just talking about Chubb, and no, wait a minute, wait. There's this guy named Kareem Hunt who's a beast.
There's no reason to let him run the ball and hurt himself and overexert himself if you have a great number two right. to kind of take some of that off. So I just don't think the stars align well for Nick Chubb. That's all.
It's a bad situation. And because he's on the Cleveland Browns, you know, that takes us to my Wasuda pick. it's a perfect segue. My Wasuda pick, number three Wasuda pick, is OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. Yes, he says he's 100% now after sports hernia surgery. The guy had four TDs last year. He plays again, as I said, on the Cleveland Browns. And he's currently being drafted before, again, Juju, which is nuts, before Mark Andrews, which is nuts, before A.J. Brown, to me, which is nuts. I just have no faith at all in the Cleveland Browns offense. I have no faith at all in Baker Mayfield. To your point, yeah, their running game is solid. You know, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, they're probably going to do well this year. They're, you know, they're going to do some things. I just after watching Baker Mayfield now last year, I've kind of thrown in the towel. And even though Jarvis Landry is there, yes, Jarvis Landry just had, you know, hip surgery, whatever it was that he had. That's his only competition. I mean, think about it. Odell Beckham is like the guy. He's the guy. He's the man in Cleveland. There's not much competition outside of Landry who's been hurt. I still don't see it. I still don't see them clicking. Baker Mayfield is just like this. It's like I want to vomit thinking about the Cleveland Browns offense. I have no faith in them at all. And I just, OBJ, like I said, he's going way too high. If he falls later, I probably still wouldn't even take him. He's going right now in the third round. I'm just trying to stay away completely. I'm not drafting anyone this year in the Browns offense. Again, they have a new head coach. Freddie Kitchens is gone. They got to learn a whole new offense. I'm staying away. Basuda, up and down, all the way around, trash.
He's definitely Basuda, easily. But I feel like he's got a higher ceiling than other people we've had. Because I feel like if Baker Mayfield can just... I got to stop saying if. We're getting way too close to the draft. But if Baker Mayfield does what he needs to, it's like easy game for OBJ, right? And you'd hate to skip out on a receiver. Let's say he falls to you early in the fourth round and he's your fourth pick. It's like, God, how do you skip out on having OBJ be your your wide receiver too?
Browns.
I know. And what the thing that makes me want to pass him is I do see that in some leagues they have Odell as the number 12 overall wide receiver. I see that in another one I'm looking at him and he's being drafted in the fifth round. So I feel like I'll take him in the fifth round. I won't take him in the third. He's Basuda in the third. In the fifth, I think Yeah, because then you can get him as your flex.
I mean, so. Remember, Kevin Stefanski has taken over the Browns. The Browns, you know, he's the head coach this year. He came from, what, Minnesota? And think about last year. Stephon Diggs had 94 targets last year in 15 games. Stefanski is a run-heavy coach. You know that doesn't bode well for OBJ. If Diggs was already, you know, yes, the Vikings, they had Dalvin Cook. They have, you know, the running game over there with Madison and Dalvin Cook. And so, yeah, so Stefanski, he ran the ball heavy over there. Diggs didn't have that many targets. But why is that all of a sudden going to be different when you have Chubb and Kareem Hunt? It doesn't bode well with Stefanski there. Likes to run. He doesn't throw as much as other squads, other teams. I'm staying away completely.
I just wonder how long are we going to be still paying for his great year in 2016 when he had 101 receptions and 1,367 receiving yards.
Right. You know. And we had to pay for that year because we had to hear Hector talk about how he got a damn championship off of it.
Yeah.
Well, no, boy. That championship was 2014.
I came in 14.
Oh, I thought the year that
OBJ wasn't even his monster year was 2016.
Yeah, and last year was the first time he played 16 games since then. So I just, you know, if he falls, even if he falls to the fifth round, I'm looking at the fifth round, and you got guys like Robert Woods, Cortland Sutton, DK Metcalf, Keenan Allen, DJ Chark. You got to really start thinking. Yeah, I mean, at that point, you're even thinking, would I take OBJ over them? And I, you know,
so, I'm not taking OBJ over DK Metcalf. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, we're starting to run a little short on time. We got one more guy we're gonna burn through, and it's my guy Leonard Fournette. I look at him and it's just like I don't like his opportunity this year. I think one of two things is gonna happen. Either he's gonna play 16 games, try and play for the next contract because he is gonna be a free agent after this season, and they're gonna run him into the ground, or he's gonna get hurt again. He's, you know, last year he played 15 games. That was the most he's ever played in the NFL. He missed one game because of illness, so he didn't have anything. But yeah, and the things I didn't like, I mean, they don't have a good offensive line. It's one of the lower rated. The Jags have one of the lower rated offensive lines. He got 43 red zone carries, and he got 3 touchdowns out of that. He had 8 carries inside the 5 for a total of -2 yards. I mean, I'm like, is the line that bad? And then he had 76 receptions last year, which is fantastic, especially for PPR. But they got Chris Thompson, who, you know, offensive coordinator Jay Gruden loves to throw the ball to. He had 42 balls last year in Washington. So, you know, he's going RB16. He's in that Todd Gurley range. I'm passing. That's why I'm kind of like, get your running backs early, because I don't want to have to be picking between these guys.
Yep.
What pick number are you, Hector?
7.
Do you like Fournette?
He's got some injury concerns, right? Isn't he?
If he falls to you, third round, 7th pick. You getting him?
Third round, 7th pick. Let me see. What's his ADP right now?
That is his ADP.
It depends what I had, what I picked for my first 2 picks.
If you pass on him, I am picking him up with my 12th pick in the 3rd round.
Chris Carson.
I think Holden. I think Georgie.
Yeah, I'd probably scoop him up there. I'd probably, if it's 3rd round.
Your advice is good, but I mean, I like Fournette. I think even though they got Thompson, I think Thompson's not going to do anything. Fournette's got that chip on his shoulder. He wants to play it out. He basically played a whole season last year, and 522 receiving yards ain't no joke. He's going to get more touchdowns this year easily. He only got 3 total between the receiving and rushing.
That's pretty
so bad. I just feel like if you get a good running back in the first, and then you can get him in the 3rd, he's solid. And late in the 3rd, I'm feeling good about you guys passing on him. So picks 8, 9, 10, and 11, tell them to listen to don't let them listen to my part. But
only listen to George's part.
All
right. I'd love
to have Fournette on my team in the late 3rd. So I'm like, oh, you guys are Basura.
Well, I'm passing on him, you know, because I'll be picking what number two in the third round, so he ain't coming back to me on the right. You know, when it comes back at the end of the fourth. So
right.
I'm even gonna let him pass, and I'm gonna pick him up in the fourth round with my first.
Oh man, he wouldn't be there. No way. He would make it to the fourth round.
Oh man. Oh, mijo. Hey, let's close up shop. Eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making our independent podcasts available to the media community. And please subscribe and leave us a review, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. Gracias. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia. Póngate la máscara.
Salud.
Awesome. That went longer than I thought. We had a lot of cheese, man, that one.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Went on with cheese man a lot longer.
Yeah, we was looking at cheese man. We were like at 20 some minutes at that point. Like 24, 25 minutes. I was like, oh my God. So, but we had a lot of stuff. So, are you guys good to jump in?
Yeah,
so what we'll do is we'll do the orale, and I'll just add a chisme, and then we'll just jump into the tesoro. So
yeah, I'm just gonna pee real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm gonna take this opportunity to pee and get a snack. So I'll be back.
Go for it. Go for it. Thank you.